Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got a real cool guest sitting on our couch. She came in from, where'd you come in from?
Whitby.
Whitby. How long have you lived in Whitby?
2009.
Where were you before Whitby?
Scarborough.
Wait a second.
Yes.
What makes you want to leave Scarberia, Scarlum?
Nobody wants to leave. It's cheaper in the East.
Do you miss Scarborough?
Oh, all the time.
We got one of the best malls in the GTA.
Yep.
By far.
He's looking at me malls. Like I don't always claim like to be the unofficial ambassador for Scarborough.
Scarborough gets a bad rap on so many levels, and I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I don't know why.
I don't get it because I rep Scarborough everywhere I go.
You want to know why? Because it's the land of immigrants and poor people.
The unfortunate truth is that is the truth. Like this part of the city, when it's reported in the media, it's always like, you know, they'll say like a specific area of Toronto, they might just say like an intersection or the West End or whatever. When it's Scarborough, they make sure to say Scarborough. And or I don't know if it's like that anymore, but I know when I was growing up, you'd always hear on the news like shooting in Scarborough, robbery in Scarborough. But if it was anywhere else, it was like the West End or Midtown or, you know what I mean? Like it's not
the goddamn media.
It's not the same.
See what they're doing? See what they're doing?
But as you said,
see what they're doing?
You see all the pleas and all the advertising for getting funding for Scarborough hospitals.
Yeah.
And the advertising is all focus on the fact that majority of newcomers do come here. We have probably the most multicultural population in the entire city. And so why aren't we getting funding for anything? Why do we get shit on all the time? Maybe that's why. But I love it here. Like I said, I'm like the unofficial ambassador. Anytime someone's like, what do you like about Scarborough? I'm like, what don't I like about Scarborough? We have the best restaurants. The streets are wide. There's always parking everywhere. The mall is great. I love it here.
You can get to and from the downtown core with ease.
Yep. Yes. Scarborough wins.
Scarborough wins.
Nice.
Well, let's actually introduce our guest. Hey, everyone. It's Amanda.
Let's
and
do
we've
that.
Got Jessica here. She did appear on an episode, a remote episode. And it's always better when we have somebody in person and we can look at their
face.
Was
that during COVID?
That was during COVID. It was June 2020. She came on to do an unprofessional hour. We talked about a lot of stuff, but we really got into how driven this therapist is and her ability to recognize opportunities and make money and have different income streams.
Yeah, I think you were talking about doing day trading while you were in school.
Yeah,
and
man.
If
she
my
did
memory
do that.
Serves me
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah. So she was actually scheduled to come in, in our other side of our business and do some video for Massage Therapy Media because she's been doing a lot of really cool stuff since we had her on, and she was going to do some video demos. And eventually I think she's going to be running her own courses, and that's why we were going to start, you know, collaborating and getting some things going for her. So unfortunately, a very unfortunate incident happened and her body ended up in hospital this morning. She's okay. Everybody, she's okay. But anaphylactic reactions are very real. And she ended up in the hospital. So we were like, well, what are we going to do now? And we decided, let's record a podcast.
If I was allergic to bee stings like that, I would just stay indoors like all the time.
She was inside. The bee got in her house. She was inside when she got stung in her face.
She lives in bush. So,
well, if I was allergic to bee stings, I wouldn't be in the bush.
I agree.
And my whole yard would be concrete. jungle surrounding my house. No,
maybe,
no greenery.
Maybe after
no
this experience, she'll be looking to move out of the bush. But anyway, she is okay. And we hope to get her in here to do some demos
another
day.
Would you ever go live in the bush?
No.
Why not?
I need to be able to get into the city.
Yeah.
Like Whitby is as far as I want to go.
Right.
I need people. I don't like people, but I need people. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I don't think Amanda knows what you mean. So you might have to explain it.
Yeah, I want an explanation, really, because I don't know that Mark likes people either. So help me out a little.
I want to see you, but I don't necessarily want to talk to you.
You don't want to feel like you're isolated.
Right.
But you also don't want people bothering you.
Right.
Leave me alone, but I don't want to be alone. You guys are weird.
I don't think it's weird at all. I think it's how the world should operate.
Yes.
Really. I think life would be smoother for everybody if that was the case.
You know what you guys are really proving though? Like human connection is actually vital to people's like happiness and survival in some way. Even if you don't want to be a social butterfly, you just being completely isolated is really, really unhealthy for anybody. It doesn't even matter what kind of person
you are. Do you feel it would be unhealthy for you, or do you think you'd just be bored out of your tree?
I think it would be unhealthy only because I recognized it during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The people that were isolated,
yeah,
they went batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You can see certain things manifest because they didn't have social interaction.
Right.
Whereas when I was still working, I still talked to people.
Yeah.
So I maintained some level of sanity.
Yeah. Even my brother, who is like probably the biggest introvert I know and naturally spends a lot of time alone. He travels alone. He goes out to eat alone. Like, he likes being alone in his own company, but he's alone, but not alone, right? Yes. Like, as you said, he'll go out to a restaurant. There's other people there. He's not talking to them. He's not sitting with them, but he's not alone.
Yes.
And during a few months of the pandemic, I think there was one time he called me and he said, I just realized I haven't seen a human because I haven't left my apartment. I think at this point it had been like 8 or 9 weeks. And I was like, please go outside, because it was winter, right? So yeah. He was just hibernating inside. He worked from home. He was getting groceries delivered. So I was like, please go outside. Like, I don't care where you just go outside.
That sounds like a lot of jerking off.
Oh come on.
I know it's your brother and all.
Yeah, no, we can't.
But that's what it sounds like to me.
Stop this right now.
I'm sorry. It's true, though. It's true. I don't know. Sorry.
Well, now I know what you do when you're all alone for too many hours.
If it was weeks and weeks of just by myself, I think I'd just be pantsless constantly.
Just because.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no wonder people don't come hang out with you.
I feel for my ma a little bit too, because my dad just recently passed away. He was retired for the longest time, so now she got nobody there, right? So
yeah,
I took her over to my uncle's place just to be around people. He had a back injury and then he had back surgery, and back surgery went really bad for him. Mm. And basically they told him, you're never going to walk again. So he's in physio now. Physio comes to the house and he's walking a little bit, but he still lives in his living room on a hospital bed, planted in front of the television.
Yeah.
So I brought my mother over there and I've never heard her talk so much in my life. Like, you needed to talk to people right now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that was good. That was good for her.
Yeah. I think, social interaction, even just a little bit, like even just having people around. Again, it's like other people's energy is necessary. Otherwise, you can become very lonely. And like you said, you go crazy.
Didn't they say like people should not be in solitary confinement for too long?
No.
Like there's a
limit. It messes you up.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's a documentary I watched and the kid was left in it for over like a year.
That's like psychological torture.
And he literally
went
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Back to some more less terrifying and traumatizing thoughts. Jessica's client is okay. And we get the pleasure then of hearing about all the things she's been doing since 2020. So for anyone who didn't hear your episode back in 2020, you can still go back and listen to it. It's an unprofessional hour from June. She's making this face like, maybe you don't want to, because who knows what we said. We were all isolated and batshit crazy. Introduce yourself. Let people know who you are, how long you've been practicing, how you got here.
Yeah. So a student of medics and
dun, dun, dun.
Graduated 2011. This is a second career for me, but fast forward through all that junk. I've been a massage therapist till now, which is what, 13 years we're going into?
Long time. Mm-hmm.
And so I've done everything from the typical rehab, your relaxation, a little bit of a spa stint. But I also recognized there was a need for focusing on post-operative care as well as some work on athletes. And it's a little bit of my own personal desire to have an interaction in that field, because I was an athlete of some sort.
Mm.
And then the other part is recognizing that there's a lack of therapists in the business of post-op.
Right.
More RMTs to be specific, because there's random people that do it, but aren't a lot of registered therapists. So with that being said, I am busy. Busy, busy, busy. If I can work from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., that's how busy I am.
So the post-op stuff.
Yes.
Is that just filling a hole, or that's like something that's close to you?
Both. So initially, I'll be honest. So when I first started it, I had a conflict in my mind with regards to doing cosmetic surgery on a whole, because I wasn't a big believer in doing it. So I battled with actually wanting to care for people in that setting. But after I got past it,
what was the dilemma?
Well, you know, I just figure what you're born with is what you should work with, right?
Okay.
And I didn't feel that you should be altering yourself to fit whatever vision you had, whether it be social media or insecurities. I figured work within yourself.
Yeah.
But then I got past that.
How'd you get past that?
Well, can I interject here too? Yeah. For people who don't know, Jessica also is a personal trainer and worked many years in fitness. And, you know, for her, like, being healthy and being fit was top priority. So I could see how surgery doesn't necessarily fit in that model with you. It's, you know, take your God-given body, whatever, whoever you believe in, and like you said, work with it. Get as healthy as you can be without surgical procedures.
Mm-hmm. You know what? The change came about a combination of they're going to do it with or without me.
Right.
So let it go. The other piece was I can fill the need, which is I'm working with people that I know have not only the need for the physical treatment, but there's a mental component to it. Mm-hmm. So if you understand who these people are when they come to me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say they're crying because emotionally they're not prepared for the journey. Mm. So there is a lot of, we'll say, counseling that goes with the treatment.
Right.
So because I do care, this is where it has become more of a passion for me.
And this all started like during the pandemic, or were you already making? Yeah. Okay. So talk to me about how, like, did you have a lot of clients who were going through these surgeries and then you saw the gap? Like, how did this all come to be your area of focus?
Yeah. You know what? I recognized that it was a growing industry in the States. And then here, people were doing it, but quietly. So there is a big difference in cosmetic surgery here in Canada and the cosmetic surgery in the US and abroad. Like, it's celebrated in the States, right? Mm. If you go onto these platforms to where a lot of people are sharing their experiences, a lot of them will come out and be like, if you don't have surgery, it's because you don't got money. Mm. That's the American mindset, right? Whereas here, it's more hush-hush. You may know amongst a group of friends, but it's not something that a lot of people go out and celebrate. So it was harder to break into that market because people weren't talking about getting it done. They were secretly doing it and relying on somebody they may know to refer. So I just kind of put it out there one day and I was like, listen, I know people are doing it. I just don't know how I'm going to get to them, because what I found is the surgeons here in Canada, they don't really practice post-operative care in their whole treatment protocol. Mm-hmm. I guess they're of the mindset, when I've done what I've done, it's going to heal as it needs to, and all is well. If you do anything south of the border from the US to Colombia and DR, most of them will say post-operative care next day. Like, blood's dripping, they're still doing post-operative care.
Why is it so different here?
I think it's training. And also, you know what? I guess they don't really believe that they have enough research to back that it's going to do anything for them. But I will say, like, when I look at the results of people that I've done work with in the down south versus here, huge difference.
Do you think it's surgeon ego? My work is so good.
Yeah.
I'm so careful with what I do. I'm God when it comes to recreating your body, that you don't need anything else after this.
Some of them are also very archaic in their skill set.
Right.
So the ones that are modern, they've gone and got the training even up until, like, we'll say last year, like, we'll call it quote unquote the Dr. Six and whomever else in Toronto that's very big in the surgery game, they practice post-operative care.
Okay.
But some of the other ones don't.
I'm wondering if there's a link, like you said, between the attitude of Canadians. It's, you know, like, if you want to get some sort of enhancement cosmetic surgery, it's hush hush. It's not something you advertise to the world. So you don't see a lot of advertisements for like mm-hmm. these types of things. And if the doctors aren't suggesting you need to get care, and I don't know, I think all of it is connected. Our whole attitude towards surgery and
most of the people that have had surgery here, I end up seeing them in that 2 month mark because they realize it's not going as smoothly as they like, or there's some imperfections. And then through talking with friends, they find out about the option of postoperative care. The ones that have gone south, they've either contacted me before their surgery or as soon as they've landed, they're trying to get some care.
I want to go back to when you said the difference between people you've worked with down south and here, you notice a big difference. Mm-hmm. What is this difference?
The quality of the surgery is cleaner. Cleaner. Like, they look immaculate. Mm. I can't lie. Some of the work, hands down, I will have to give it to these surgeons. They've done excellent work. The ones here, also, we have a different protocol here in Canada. There's only so much fat they're allowed to take out. So because of that, there's only so much of a lean look that you're going to get from a particular surgeon. So that's probably part of it too. And then at the end of the day, cost, right? It's so much cheaper to go south. You're probably paying half the cost.
Like how far south?
Like Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. You can get like surgery for half the cost in Florida versus here.
All these things I didn't know.
Where, what types of cosmetic surgeries are you seeing?
My most common ones are 360 lipo and BBLs, tummy tucks.
What's BBL?
So BBL is Brazilian butt lift, where they take fat from, so it's wherever they can in the body. So depending on what your goal is. So if most people have stomach fat, back fat that they want to remove, and then they inject it in the glutes. But if it's somebody that's not very heavy set in the midsection, then they can pull from the arms, they can pull from the legs, wherever it's necessary to inject in the bum.
I got all the places, but I don't need it going into my bum. I'm good.
Yeah.
You look like your wheels are spinning right now.
I think I probably just hold on to the mentality that you had prior.
Yeah.
Which was, why? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know.
But I get it.
There's the other part too. So in going through this and getting to know everybody, one of the things that let me let go of that mindset a bit was coming across a few people that have done it for other reasons. So one in particular, you know, this young lady was sick at a very young age and they didn't know what was wrong with her. So they put all these steroids in her and she gained like 100 pounds in like 2-3 months. And when they finally figured it out, I think she was diagnosed with lupus, put her on the proper medication. She dropped majority of the weight. And so by the age of 18, 19, she already looked like she had 3-4 kids.
Right.
So there is that part of her mentally that felt defeated already. Like, I don't have a body that reflects what I've truly been through, meaning carrying a child and so on and so forth. So for her, it was gaining back her sense of security and even confidence, why she ended up doing the surgery to begin with. So I kind of said to myself, I can see it. I get it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, at the age of 19 when you're, you know, dating and you got to explain why your body looks like this? And not that you have to explain it, but there's a story.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Especially as a female, I feel like we're very body conscious to begin with.
Yeah, that's a whole discussion on its own.
I don't know, because I'm just getting old. So
yeah, you could care less at this point.
So you just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you care that you're going to live, but you care less like
about the looks.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever shape you come with, you're good.
Yeah, the last decade,
I'm telling you, I feel like I preface anytime I'm like trying to get, I'm putting in like air quotes, trying to get in shape, because I used to be somebody who lived in the gym. I used to be somebody who cared a lot about a certain physical appearance and keeping myself like looking, like I worked out to look the way I looked. Mm-hmm. And for the last decade, actually, I've been saying, like, when I go to work out, I'm like, the aesthetics is never a motivation anymore. I'm not going to lie. There would be no part of me that would be truthful if I said it when I look in the mirror, when I've lost like 10 pounds, that I'm not like, yes, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Of course I like that, but it's no longer the motivation. Cause like Mark, I'm like, I just have other things to worry about. I'm like, so I got a little bit of extra fat here. Like, I don't care. But if there was a big thing, like, you know, this young person that you're talking about, where my body looked like I'd carried multiple children and I never did. And, you know, being so young, I can understand wanting to correct that. Because that's not something she would have been able to really fix, no matter how much work she's putting into it. So,
and you were younger and you were already doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the reasons why you care a little bit less, because you did this stuff already. Like when I was a personal trainer, I looked the part.
Yeah.
Right. And I was a personal trainer for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
And now I just like, I did that already. Like,
exactly.
I'm onto a different chapter. Yeah. So
the thrill isn't about, you know, benching or squatting X amount of pounds. Yeah, yeah. It's to feel good right now.
Yeah.
You want to make sure the body doesn't hurt when you get up to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different beast.
All I'm thinking about is, but my body does hurt.
So give me an idea what these treatments look like.
Well, you know, they come in.
Wait. First.
Okay.
What extra education, what extra studying did you have?
Oh, she's done so much stuff.
Oh, wow. So I've done, most of them are like weekend courses, to be quite honest with you. I've done many. So from Toronto, why I end up doing so much is because each time I went somewhere, I felt like it was never enough.
Right.
I could have figured this out on my own. So you're doing a lot more lymphatic drainage,
right?
Wound care. Some places are teaching you how to drain out fluid, which I don't practice.
Right.
So I went from getting training in Toronto, training in Atlanta, and then I ended up going to Colombia, which in my eyes was like the mecca of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I figured if I learned there, their skill set, then I've pretty much mastered it all.
And who else is taking these courses? Like, what professional designations?
Oh, so this is where I say it's a little sketchy.
Okay.
Because they've opened it to every and anybody.
Oh.
Yes. So you'll get maybe, if there's a class of 10, maybe two actual massage therapists. The rest are just random everyday people, maybe one nurse,
right?
If you're lucky. So this is where I thought someone like me, there's a need for more people like me.
Yeah.
There aren't enough people that understand like the function of the body. I'll give you a prime example. A lady came to me the other day and she's just like, you know what? She got a tummy tuck. It looked a little off. She was ready to get a revision or try to figure out like, can something be fixed? And I looked at her and I'm like, so no one told you your hips are out of alignment?
Mm.
So she was looking for something that wasn't capable of happening because it was her pelvic bone that was kind of sticking out.
Right.
But she was like, I wanted this hourglass look. But I'm like, you're not going to get it with your structure. Mm. Somebody else wouldn't have been able to see that.
What is the motivation for all of these random people? Like, they plan to, what, open a business just doing post-op care? Is this, like, very lucrative? I guess down south it is.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and they don't have to have any knowledge of... That seems dangerous.
Very.
Well...
Very.
Okay. tell me.
Well, you know what? For the most part, unless... If you're reopening drains,
yep.
There's a huge risk,
right?
But besides that... Understanding the stages of healing. Like, I had a client, you know, I was working with him and all of a sudden I had to go away. So this one week you can't be with me. So I said, I'm taping you. So at least you can drain lymphatically while I'm gone. And for some reason he had the desire to go and get treatment somewhere else. So he went and got treatment. The girl beat him up doing wood therapy. He was 3 weeks post-op.
Ooh.
There is no need for that so early. Mm-hmm. And that early, you're only just hurting the person. Like, they're so sore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that type of stuff where common sense can't kick in when they don't understand the stages of healing. Maybe through time, but there's so many components to the whole process. But
you must be rolling in today.
What's your version of rolling? You must, it's comfortable.
Because the folks that do this stuff.
Yeah.
Are the folks that have the money?
You would think so.
Yeah?
So here's the thing. Aside from people taking up their CERB money.
Yeah.
They took every penny that government was given and went down south for the most part. You know, a lot of people don't plan for post-operative care. So they'll plan to a T for exactly what's happening.
Right.
And then after they want a nickel and dime, there's a few people that will actually spend the money right out front. And... You know, they'll go through the full journey of recovery. I tend to get, 10 here, 20 here, a 5 here. And then those that do the 5, possibly even the 10s, they'll come back months later because they're still realizing they're not healing.
Right.
So they end up spending the money anyways. But the advantage as a massage therapist, you know, it's a specialty. So I up my price.
Hmm.
I've gone for the training.
It's gold.
Yeah. It's fun times.
I do want to know what these treatments look like. I know Mark started to ask.
Oh,
so lymphatic drainage we know is a huge part of it. Now, did you get additional training in lymphatic drainage as well?
Yes. So that's part of the courses.
Okay.
So each of the post-operative care courses did include it, in addition to obviously what we learned in school. What I've learned is your standard lymphatic drainage is a part of the care, but there's a sculpting aspect to it that isn't practiced in regular lymphatic drainage. So it's a combination of the two. What's more important is the positioning for a lot of people. So if someone's had a BBL, you can't have them sit on their bum.
Right.
So we either have to kind of pillow them a certain way so that they don't put all their weight in that area, or they could be standing, kneeling, whatever's necessary to get them through the whole treatment. depending on the surgeon. Some surgeons leave open the incisions. So, like, not the tummy tucks, but I mean, like, where they do the lipo, the drains. So they could come out to you and they're still, like, oozing of fluid. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to, depending, tarp the ground where you are so you're not walking in blood.
You lost me at oozing. Oh, like, I'm not doing this.
I'm the pimple popper kind of person. I could watch that all day, right? So when this happens, I'm like, ooh, more fluid's coming out. Yes. I'm excited. Yeah. So if you're weak in the stomach for that stuff, yep, stay away from it.
Not for me.
Not for you.
Thank God for you.
So interesting, the career path.
Yeah.
It is interesting because when we first graduated school, like, she was only a year behind me. And when we first graduated, I really saw, because of the business you already had, that you were really going to focus on working with athletics and continue in, like, the whole, and I know you do still like dabble in that as well, but I never expected you to get into the world of post-op with cosmetic surgery patients. Like, never did I think that was where you were going.
Well, this is where business Jessica kicked in. So I recognize that it's a business that a lot of people haven't tapped into, and the opportunity to not only make more money, but have less physical work is the element that kind of drew me into it. Because I could sit the whole time if I really wanted to and do the treatment, because pressure is not the key. In this one, it's more technique.
So you said there's not a lot of people, specifically in Canada, because it's not something that we promote or talk about, or, you know, people don't even plan to do any post-op care. I know that clients and people have asked you, now that you're doing this, you're getting busy, right?
Yes.
So you do plan to start training people to do this?
Yes. There's a need for it. And from what I've seen in my previous trainings, I want to fill that gap. I hated walking away saying, what did I just learn here? Or even, why didn't I learn this? Why didn't I? You know what I mean? Like, I do have a bit of a background in teaching. Like, I used to do corporate training back in my Bell days. So the pieces that I felt were necessary were missing in the whole delivery. And that's where I felt like this step was missed. X amount of questions were still left at the end of a course. You shouldn't have that, right? You should be able to answer pretty much every question by the time it's done. And a lot of these courses between Canada and US, I can't lie, they all had loopholes or, like, missing pieces that were very important.
So you're developing and going to fill all these holes.
Yes.
And teach people the proper way to work with post-op patients.
Right.
How do you pick the courses and stuff that you're going to take? Because I can imagine that there's probably a whole bunch of things out there. And how do you go through and figure out what's legit, what is not? Are they all legit? I guess not.
No. By your face, like, if you... let's put it this way. Of all the courses that I've seen available in Canada, none were offered by an RMT. Hmm. Not to say that that's the only set of, you know, any only practitioner that can offer it. But what I found is who I chose was also based on the success of their business as well, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that people were going to them regularly for treatment and they did post great before and afters and they had great followers, like, that was my only means for researching. So like locally. Mm-hmm. So in doing so, that's how I chose who I went to here. And then the same thing in the States. I chose that individual based on the success of their business and how busy they've been and the success of their clients when it came to their healing.
Yeah, I guess this is something you can really see in the results, right? Yeah. Like, you've got visible evidence of
before and after. Yeah. So that's how I chose those particular people. And I'm not saying they didn't do their job to the best of their ability, but I just recognize there is a gap in what they've created.
Do you like watching cosmetic surgery television shows? And I asked this because I had a friend who was a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, like, do you like watching all those real estate shows, like Love It or Listed and all that kind of shit? He's like, no, I fucking hate that stuff.
No, I'd watch Botched.
Yeah, you watch Botched and stuff?
Yeah. I'm like, and her crotches are in her stomach.
So so what's the most fucked up thing you've seen?
Personally?
Yeah.
There's this one girl... she went for a tummy tuck, a lipo and tummy tuck in DR.
Yeah.
And last minute decided to get a BBL.
Yeah.
And upon getting the BBL, she came home and it looked like she had a little rash on her bum. So it's red, a little raised, but nothing too concerning. And then within a week, it started to like bubble up and blister. So like it juices were oozing from her bum for like months. And the doctors here, if you go abroad, a lot of these doctors here don't want to touch you. So she's gone to the hospital on several occasions and they're like, there's nothing we can do. We won't touch that. And she's like, at least give me some antibiotics in case I'm having an infection.
Right.
She didn't have true signs of an infection because there's no like temperature change and there was no real, what I mean, concern where that was. But in the end, it was more so the surgeon was too aggressive in the injection of the lipo. So it damaged the skin tissue. So the fat was also coming through the skin. So she had to walk around with like gauze on her bum for like 2 months. She couldn't get through a full massage session. So she'd leave home, come to my house, which is where I work, about 15 minutes. She couldn't get through a full session without oozing through the gauze.
Oh, man.
Why would no one touch her here?
I don't know if it's a liability thing in terms of like ensuring that the work is going to be, you know what I mean? Like it's the quality that that surgeon has guaranteed or I don't know what, but a lot of them are just like, no, we won't do anything. Like the best she's been able to be cared for is by being referred to a plastic surgeon.
Right.
See, these are, I mean, aside from the fact that I'm chicken shit and there's no fucking way that I would get surgery, like elective surgery, because I'm just terrified of if there's a possibility of something going wrong, it's already gone through my head that it's going to happen to me. Like I'm way too scared to do that. But the outcome, like that's fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. You go and think like, oh, I'm going to have this like nice perky bum. And now you have to wear gauze.
Yeah.
And change gauze every 15 minutes because your skin is oozing. Like that is, oh, that is so awful. I feel so sad for her.
But black for a couple months, just in fear of it coming through. And even a girl I had like starting last week or so, she almost died. They couldn't wake her up out of her anesthesia.
Oh my God. See, nope.
That was done here?
No, that was done
abroad.
Abroad.
Okay.
And it took them a day to get her up.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of risk. You know, I know of people here that have died when they've gone away. It's a lot of it too is understanding your body, right? Like getting a true workup, like medically, because even with the same person that couldn't be woken up out of the anesthesia, like she had a blood pressure issue that was never addressed. Her doctor kind of let that slide. And it wasn't till the very end before going, they recognized, oh, you should probably be on blood pressure meds. And she's like, should I still be getting surgery? And according to her, doctor said yes. So was that the true, was that a good recommendation? I don't know. But was that the contributing factor to her not getting, you know, waking up when she should have? I guess we will never know. But these are all things that I think people need to recognize. Like, are you healthy?
Are you healthy? Sorry, this started with going through what your treatments are. So you'd mentioned that sculpting is a part of it. You mentioned wood tools. And like, I follow you on social media. So I've seen some of the, I just see little clips, you know, what you're willing to share with the world.
Right.
But let's say that I'm your patient, even though we all know I'm never going under the knife, especially after talking to you today. But let's just say that I got
anything?
A BBL and a tummy tuck, and I'm coming to you because I want to make sure my healing goes well.
Right.
Can you walk me through like a hypothetical, like what sorts of things I could expect from a massage therapist who does post-op care?
Somebody that, so first we would look at the fact that you've done a BBL and tummy tuck, so positioning is key. You can't lay flat yet because for the most part, if you have a tummy tuck, you're almost hunched over, right? Everything's so tight.
Right.
So there's a bit of an elevation in your positioning. You don't actually have your bum seated on a table. So there's, you know, we'll call it, like I said, pillows everywhere to kind of keep you as supported as possible. And then after that, it's more so because you're doing a tummy tuck, the lymphatic drainage techniques alter from your typical because the incision line, wherever your incision point is now, it's now like your demarcation point to where you work away from in the sense. So just flow, you're working with the lymph flow is what your key to your first stages of your treatment. Also range of motion, because you're not moving at all. Most people have like stiff back, necks, like they're done for.
Right.
Because for the most part, if you can't find a bed that can accommodate you, you're probably in a chair or something along those lines for like a month or so. Other than that, once you get through that early stage to where most of the fluid is gone and they're probably stiff as a board, like literally you can touch the skin and they're hard.
Hmm.
So then it's breaking down the fibrosis. So the stages of breaking down that, whether it be through using your hands, gua sha, some cupping, mm-hmm. those are some techniques that I use. I often do some taping too because I am a K-taping specialist.
Mm.
So I use that to my advantage as well for both drainage right, as right. well as placing the skin in a position, especially if they have like loose skin, putting in a position that allows it to retract while it's healing. So they have the most optimal result.
And what are all these fancy wood things I see you using on your pages?
Wood therapy. So it can be done in post-operative care, but it's normally done like 6 weeks out when majority of the healing's in place.
Right.
But wood therapy is often used to contour the body. So like we'll call that the original contouring before the surgeries. So it's used to break down fat, push fluid. So there's more, we'll say more plumpness in the bum and less in the stomach. These are all temporary fixes. So it originated in Colombia.
So can someone come to you and get something like that, like more contouring and not go get surgery?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, this is more my language.
Now, I offer it personally. It's in my list of services that you can get from me, but I don't love doing it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks
sweating,
tiring.
Like, sweating. Yeah. So I try to, like, oh, you want to book wood therapy? My med spa can take care of that for you. So the ladies that work for me, I appreciate you guys. Because I don't really want to put in that much energy. Like, I'm done. Like, when I'm finished doing a full hour session, you're done.
How many therapists do you have working with you right now?
They are contouring specialists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not massage therapists. So those that do those type of services for me, I have two and a nurse. So the nurse does injectables from
right.
Lipotropic injections, fillers, Botox, and then the other ladies do all the other services that are available.
Yeah, I know an RMT who went to nursing school just so she can do that.
I thought about it.
Yeah,
but I was like, meh.
She's like, I want to inject people.
Yeah.
So and I'm going to open a med spa.
It's a big business.
Yeah.
Med spa. Yeah. So like Mark said, you do all right, eh?
You got to see what people are willing to spend money on. It's how they look.
Would you ever get work done?
You know, many people ask me, they're like, you've got your bum done. I'm like, no, that's just me getting fat. but no, honestly, I have no desire to. No, it's not been in my, it's nothing. Nothing about it appeals to me at this point in time. Between the recovery, the cost, like, I could just go to the gym. Like, I know what I need to do if I want to get
How do you feel when you see celebrity that's just gone too far?
My face says it all. And my face says it when I go to the grocery store and I see somebody. I'm like, oh, why'd you do that to yourself?
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel like do you have no friends? Like, nobody told you to stop?
Do you have no friends?
Somebody's got to, like, I'm the friend that will be like, you've gone too far, or you need to stop. Like, now, stop. I'd be that friend.
Hmm.
Why do you have no one like that around you?
See, I agree with you to an extent, but also if somebody is an adult and they're going to do what they're going to do, like I've had people who will tell me their horrible ideas
and
I'll say, as your friend, my opinion is that is a horrible idea, but you're an adult, you know, you do what you got to do. And sometimes you can't stop someone. You know, if somebody really thinks I'm going to feel way more confident if I do this.
Especially stuff to your face.
Well, this is where I tell my friends,
fillers,
though,
man.
I'm that one that would be like, you can't stand next to me if you're going to keep doing that. Like, no. I don't want
to
be known as that girl with that girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially stuff to your face.
The lip fillers have gone so out of control, man.
Bill Burr.
He does
a whole bit on like, don't do stuff to your face. Like, any part of your body, you can cover that shit up with a shirt. Do you know what I mean? But your face is your face.
Yeah.
And And yeah. that's the part that I feel like everyone just goes way too.
Well, there's a whole bunch of things happening, right? Like at first it was just Botox, right? People were trying to like, especially people like me, when I say people like me, the, you know, 30 and 40 something white women that are starting to realize we're wrinkling real fast.
Yeah.
Botox, right? So everyone was getting Botox in their forehead.
What's cheaper,
to get
Botox
rid of,
or like a really good makeup?
He'd have to have really good makeup.
Yeah, so what's cheaper, Botox or really good? Really, oh yeah,
it's a lot of work, man.
I guess.
Like Jessica messaged me before we were doing this. She was like, "Is this audio or video?" And I was like, "It's audio. We, you know, we do a little video." She's like, "So do I have to wear makeup?" I'm like, "No, absolutely not. None of us want to put on makeup."
That's
okay,
a job and a half.
That is a job and a half. But yeah, so it started out with just Botox, and then people started to go too aggressive with the Botox, right? Where you had people whose faces don't move, they're expressionless. So that was like the running joke. Then lip fillers became super trendy. And I didn't even actually have an issue with it. At the beginning, I was like, see, that's something I might consider. I've always wished my lips were just a little fuller. Like they've got a good shape. I'm like, give me a little more. But you know what always held me back is I'm exactly what Mark just said. I'm like, it's my fucking face, man. If something goes wrong, I don't look like me anymore. There's certain proportions that are my face.
You could do like a quarter of a vial.
Right. Like something small, because I'm like, I just want a little plumpness, right? But I just got too scared. And now with the lip fillers, I see people going bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they start migrating. And then you got this duck face. And I'm like, oh my God, you went from looking like, oh, she's cute. She did something. Like, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't tell right away. You're just like, you look good. Like something, you know, something has changed, but you can't tell. And then suddenly you're like, you don't look like you anymore and you have a duck face. Like, I don't know. I think we need to be a lot more conservative with what we're putting in our face. And then all of the, even all the injectables now, the fillers and like the cheeks and stuff. Yeah. Again, you're changing the shape and the proportions and dimensions of your face. You stop looking like you. Yeah. I showed Mark a photo of somebody that we
you
were
have
friends
kids
with.
And the kids don't look
right.
Exactly. Is that really your child?
But remember, we were laying in bed one night and I showed him a photo of somebody that we used to be very good friends with probably about 12, 13 years ago. And we just kind of lost contact with this person. Like nothing bad happened. We just, you know, we all grew apart. And I said, hey, do you know who this is? Because I saw the photo and it took me a second. And he's like, I've never seen that person before in my life. And I was like, oh, not only have you seen this person before in your life, we have traveled with them. We've gone on vacation. Like, you know this person well. But her face had had so many modifications by this point.
Yeah.
He had no, I mean, on top of fake lashes, which I mean, I don't hate on lashes. Everybody has them. I think you have them.
Yeah.
But all of the changes to her face and then the lashes and then the heavy makeup. And she did like microblading with her eyebrows. Now she got like different eyebrows and extensions in her hair. Like all of the work totaled.
Yeah.
I had no idea who I was looking at.
Do dudes do this stuff a lot too? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Dudes do more than
what
you think.
What do dudes do a lot
of? Most of
lipo?
Them do lipo, depending on what community you're talking about.
Right.
But majority of the time, it's lipo, a little bit of the chest implants.
Calf implants.
The ab etching.
Right.
You might get some BBLs for the men, too.
Yeah.
Primarily, I would say the gay community. Typically. Right.
I've definitely seen men do fillers.
Yeah.
Like their faces.
Yeah, they'll do Botox and fillers for sure.
You think with all of the body positivity shit, you'd think that this industry might take a pause.
But no, because this is part of it. Body positivity, people get really confused about it and think it just means like accept your body. It's not. The whole body positivity thing is.
But I don't know a lot about anything.
It's just loving yourself enough that you're not. There's no. This sentence is removed from your vocabulary when you truly have body positivity, like I will be happy when, right? So it's like if you are somebody who believes in body positivity, you might still think like, well, it's my body, I can get fillers or Botox or whatever, but that's still part of it. It doesn't mean like you have to accept everything for what it is. It just means you love yourself and you know you as a person deserve to be happy regardless of what body you have, right? Like people always think body positivity means, honestly, I think most people think it means love yourself even when you're fat, but that's not really the only message, right? Like it's everything.
Yes, loving everything, whatever they choose to or not to do to themselves.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
it is interesting.
And we've had people that had we did a whole series.
We did a three-part series on cosmetic surgery.
Oh.
And that scared the crap out of me because we had a couple of people on who had to deal with breast implant illness. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, learning about the implants was enough for me to say, like, okay, that's definitely never happening. And we had someone on who had done multiple things. Like, she had had breast augmentation, but she had also done tummy tucks. She had had work done to her face. Yeah, a lot of things. And when we asked her, I think at the time we had her on, she was either in her late 40s, early 50s, and she was still getting procedures. And it was, you know, back to what you were saying at the beginning, she said, just being a woman, especially a woman at my age now, like I'm not young, I feel like people are always judging our physical appearance. And so she never felt 100% confident to go out just the way she was. So it was always like, well, I want this to be bigger, this to be smaller, this to look a little different. And she has changed her appearance like drastically.
I had a young lady, and before the age of 30, she's already done her nose, her breast twice, tummy tuck, lipo BBL. That's lipo inner thighs and stomach with the BBL. Mm. She's done the fat pockets in her cheeks, and she's done her teeth.
Wow.
And she's still going for more.
Does she look good? Or does she look like you just don't look real?
She looked good when I saw her, mm-hmm. with the exception of the hair. Like, it was just too big for her proportions.
Okay.
But it's funny because I think she, when I saw her last, she may have done her bump because she said she wasn't happy with just doing the BBL.
Right.
She wanted an actual implant. So I happened to be going into the mall one day and I'm like, sorry. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. But I was like, oh, what did she do? Not seeing the face yet. Then when I turned the corner, I'm like, oh, shit. That's a girl I worked on before.
She's like a girl in rap videos. That was,
yeah.
That's my tribute to you.
Yeah, that was when it was too far because
Becky,
the leg
butt.
Proportion didn't meet the bum proportion.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? The ratios were
And
off.
That, I mean, you brought up social media before. When you look at certain celebrities who have done that, like, I'm sorry, you can't have a thigh gap and an ass that big. Like, that. Those two things don't exist together in nature.
So I don't know. Are there doctors that are just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, this is going to look just ridiculous.
I think there are.
Yeah, there are definitely. And I've heard stories of people saying there's surgeons who say like, no, I'm not doing that. But the problem is there's always going to be, just like in any industry, there's always going to be a surgeon who says, I'll do it.
Yeah. You're paying me. Like,
you're paying me. I'll do whatever you want.
Your body, sure, why not?
The girl that wanted to look like Kim Kardashian. You heard about her?
No.
I've seen photos, yeah.
Well, she died the other day.
Yeah. Oof.
Like, every surgery she's done was to try to mimic her, and she got kind of close, but now what?
Now
what,
she's
what
dead.
Kills me, though, is I feel bad, but the family's put out a GoFundMe. What happened to all the money that you had to put it in? Like,
Yeah. I don't know. I'm too old for this. I feel like fucking Murtaugh over here.
I'm too old for this shit.
When I'm out, I literally can look at most people and say, okay, I know what you've done. It's still visible.
Yeah, I guess
so
you've got an eye for it now.
Do your clients think it's not apparent, the work they've done?
I'm going to say yes, because they don't want people to know.
Right.
So,
yeah, actually, in fact, you don't know about this, but Jessica and I had a conversation the other day because she was looking for models to come do her video demos.
Right.
And there were some that said, I'm happy to donate my body, but can we keep my face out of the videos? Because I don't want people to know I've had surgery. I don't want to be identified. Gotcha. So it is like this huge hush-hush secret.
Yeah.
But I mean, at some point, depending on how much you do, like,
it's not a
it's
secret.
Obvious.
Exactly.
We can tell. Like I said, when it comes to like somebody with a huge ass and these skinny little legs, I'm like, no, that is not natural. That doesn't happen.
And those, some of the ones that get me to are the, like, we'll call it the lipo, BBL, whatever it is. They've sucked so much out of them. Like, there's no way that, I know it sounds bad, your head's still big. Like, so like it, you know what I mean? Like, with natural weight loss, everything changes, right?
Yeah.
But if your head is still big and the rest of you is small, then it's not adding up. The math ain't math.
What have you, in the timing that you've been doing this, mm-hmm. or from what you know generally of the industry, what are some of the trends that have come, that have gone, that have looked like they're here to stay for a long time? If you can speak to that.
The ones that have gone, I think, is more the implants of the BBLs.
Yeah.
The bum, the Brazilian butt lifts. Those are, because it's not as natural.
Okay.
people have gotten rid of it.
Well, and there was horror stories. Like how
what kind of horror stories?
Just horror stories of like similar to breast implants, yes. like things like leaking out, you know, where sick. Suddenly you have like one side is sagging and or like something's bursting inside. Like, yeah, oh, I read okay. some stories of just bad things happening yeah. with butt implants.
That's one of the major ones I think have left. In terms of the actual changes, it's just proportions that are changing now. So people are still doing the work, right. same work, but maybe it's more of a natural BBL.
Gotcha.
Rather than the, what they call it, the vixen kind of look.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. This whole world fascinates me because I know nothing about it.
Well, it actually kind of made me think, I'm like, I should have gone back to school to be a surgeon because this,
yeah.
if some of these guys are doing 2-3 surgeries a day.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I know.
That's some nice cars. Oh,
could you imagine? Even if you just did 2-3 surgeries a week.
That's some nice cars. A lot of guitars, too.
Cars and guitars. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah. Well, since I know that, you know, you haven't started doing this yet, but if people are listening and they're interested to see the kind of things you're doing, whether it be the med spa stuff, what are some other legs of your business, actually, before we give out your information? Because you do so many things.
I do.
What's a day in the life of Jessica these
Jamaican?
Days?
I am, actually.
That's funny. What are you there?
Well, as an example, today, my day started off with...
One job.
6:30 at the gym.
Jeez.
Like training somebody or just you going to work out?
Working out, yeah. Okay. So that's my... When I realized time was kind of getting away from me because I was getting so busy, I'm like, okay, it's got to be first thing in the morning.
Got to start the day early.
So 6:30, gym. This morning, 9:00, coaching session with my coach. I kind of give an update on what's transpired throughout the week.
Hmm.
And if it's altering my business, it's kind of...
This is a business coach or a life
business coach?
Business
coach. Okay. So yes, we talk about like what my goals are, how I plan on achieving them, creating a game plan. Because it's so easy to lose track of how you're going to get there when somebody's dangling a carrot in front of you mm-hmm. with something nice. And you know what I mean? Like... Anything shiny will kind of get you to change your course of action. So,
how long have you had a business coach for?
You know what? I've had one on and off for a couple of years.
Same person?
No.
Okay.
So this most recent one I've only taken on within the last couple of months, and I felt like she's the best fit so far.
What makes you decide this is a good fit, this is a bad fit?
What I've found is in the past, most of them, it's like they try to change my business from what it was. So they didn't understand my life as a massage therapist
right.
and how I was trying to grow it. Because everything they were trying to do was, oh, you can have somebody do this, or no, I can't get somebody to do this because this part is me.
Mm.
So instead of trying to change me, let's add other components to the business that can support me.
Okay.
So this is where the coach has come in and has actually seen my business for what it is. And she doesn't limit me. So I found certain people, if you give an idea, someone will say, okay, well, you may want to back it up a bit. It's $2,000.
Mm.
Whereas in her case, she would be like, think bigger. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is what I need. The think bigger person, it's not that it's ever too big, but it's creating the plan to get there.
Right.
So, for her, she's helped me like structure more automated things. Again, we've only worked together for a couple of months so far, but more automations and getting this med spa more functional on its own, adding more components to that. So, again, more passive income. And then I have my product line. So it's how to get my product line like to the point of like we're working on store shelves. So I've got a particular product that's been approved through Health Canada.
Mm.
So I've got that first step out of the way, which is the biggest step. And then from there, it's, you know, maybe you'll see me at a Shoppers Drug Mart one day or something.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Business coaches that you've had before,
mm-hmm.
you fire them, they fire you.
I fire them.
What is that?
But it was like a...
What does that sound like?
I can't make tomorrow's appointment.
And that just happens enough that it just fizzles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too busy. Can't really. Yeah. You know what? Because some of them were also a little closer to me, so it wasn't just straight business. Like, I knew them
right.
in another capacity. It was a little bit harder for me to walk away.
Hmm.
So that was the nicest way of me doing it.
Do you always feel like you have to do it the nice way?
Because that's just me sometimes. Okay. Sometimes. If I don't like you, then I'm just I'm a mean person. But like for the most part, I like everybody.
Do you like being a mean person when you are a mean person?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get joy out of that? Mm-hmm. Me too. She doesn't get that. She doesn't understand that the concept of I get joy out of being angry sometimes. I get joy out of being mean sometimes.
No, I do get it. It's just it takes a lot for me to really dislike someone. Mm-hmm. Like I could probably list all of the people in the world that I truly like have a dislike for and that I would have no problem being mean to. Yeah. So like there's not a lot of anger and meanness that comes out of me because like you, generally I like people.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't have a lot of people I have big issue with. And if there's somebody I don't like just because I think their personality sucks, I don't see a reason to be mean to them. I just don't have to be around them.
But like, yeah, there's always if you really don't like them, like, then it's okay.
Sometimes I'll be like, when we're dealing with somebody, I'm like, you want me to yell at them? I can yell at them if you want. I'm good at it.
I do really like having him around for that because there's definitely people that I'm like, can't deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
And they just need to be yelled at. Yeah. So I'm like, Mark.
Well, no one needs to be yelled at, but you know what I mean?
I don't know.
The message is better received at a higher octave.
The key is to not always be yelling. And then that way when you do,
yes,
you know, then someone might listen a little
bit. It's serious.
He might actually be mad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you do your gym in the morning. You mm-hmm. do coaching calls. How many times a week?
Just once a week.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got, so are you, do you still have a training? Like you're wearing your branded t-shirt. Still Body by Mars is still your business. So what falls under the umbrella of Body by Mars?
So right now my training clients are very mad at me because I haven't returned since the pandemic.
Mm. All right. So the personal training has been pushed aside a little. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
So, yeah, maybe I will like to come back because I love it. But underneath is, so there's Body by Mars, which is me. I provide you with the massage therapy services. That's the med spa. Also, the med spa consists of body contouring, detoxing, and any type of injectable services through the nurse as well. Mm-hmm. I also have Soul Mobile Spa, which is where I have a massage therapist, esthetician, whomever can go to your home and service you. That came about throughout the pandemic.
So you're not doing any of the mobile. You've got people who do, and that's the,
so smart.
I see that Soul.
So good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And is your product line also branded the
Soul.
Same? It's
yeah.
Soul. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the intention behind that branding being the same because it was more scrubs, lotions, oils, whatever it was under the what is more a spa related type thing. We mm-hmm. just kept everything under that brand of Soul.
What do you prefer, products or services dealing with, like creating and managing products or services?
Services.
How come?
I like the interact. I truly do like the interaction with my clients.
Yeah.
It actually fuels me. You know, I walk away from each client. Like, you know, there's one day that somebody may piss you right off and make you think twice about why you do something. Like, am I in the right business or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And then an hour later, because, you know, the next appointment, you've got that one person that's thanking you and saying, you know what, I wouldn't be where I am without you.
Hmm.
So it's a reminder that you're doing the right thing.
Product seems so hard.
Yeah, I'm so interested
about it. It just seems hard from the outside.
It does.
It looks like it's a hard fucking thing to manage and do and bring to life and make it be profitable.
No.
It's not?
It's very easy.
Yeah?
Well,
I don't know,
man.
I watch Dragon's Den. I'm like, this is fucking dumb.
Well, okay. So from where I am right now, so most of what I do, my products I created with the intent of using it on my clients.
Right.
Right.
So when I do use it, so for instance, I'm doing a massage and I get to the feet, I use my foot balm.
Right.
So when they finish their treatment, they're like, oh, my feet feel so good.
Yeah, buy this.
I got this for you. Yeah. Right. So that, we'll call it that $100 massage session is now $125.
Right.
Then you've got like, oh, I finished the massage with like neck and shoulders. I happen to use my particular lotion that is giving you more of like that relaxation feel. So my peppermint eucalyptus lotion.
Hmm.
And they're like, what is that? It smells so good. I'm like, oh.
I got it for you.
Yeah, I got it for you. So like everything has led to, and that's how it was created, right? Keeping in mind that I was doing certain things with people throughout my day.
Hmm.
And I would want to create a scent that they want to have all the time. So each session is no longer one price point. It's now X amount because I can now upsell on a particular product. And it goes from that individual to, oh, I want to get this for Christmas and birthdays.
See, no, this is the part that seems hard to me is like once you start, I mean, obviously your goal is for it to grow and for people to start giving mass orders and whatever.
Right.
It's the whole overwhelming thought of production and having to actually manufacture all this stuff.
So this is where
that's overwhelming.
Because it involves a whole bunch of things that so are just beyond things. Your control, right? Well, service is really within your control.
I don't make my product. I personally don't make it.
Right.
So what I've done is I've enlisted somebody that's their profession.
Yep.
Right? So I just say, these are the things I want
this
in
is what
it.
I need to have in it.
Yeah. And so as I test it out and figure out what it is that till we get to the point that it's the product I want, then I brand it for my particular brand. And then we've have the agreement, you can't make this for anybody else. Mm. And then from there, the hardest part actually is getting it to store shelves, right? Because now you have a whole other regulation you need to follow.
Exactly.
It's one thing for me to sell at my house. It's what they call like artisan or something like that. You don't have to worry about regulations when it comes to a certain number.
Yep.
But once I aim to get to store shelves, which is the big money, you now got to invest in testing and labs and
That's the part that licenses. It's like, whoa, but the, it seems like
you know what you pay you somebody
the,
to
you
do
get
that.
The people to do Is it easy for you to get people to do stuff? In other words, you take it so far and then you walk away. You relinquish control over this part of it.
No, because you always get bite in the ass when you do that. It doesn't matter how far along you get. Yeah. Like I find, the moment you walk away just a little bit, somebody didn't do what they were supposed to fucking do. Like you know what I mean? Like you had one job and you didn't do it. Like so, this is it's where. True. In my case, like I was talking to my coach today, she's like, okay, so how do we ensure that you don't get overwhelmed? Because we're just talking about more things that are coming up. And I said, well, you know me, like I take a nap. If I ever feel like anything is too stressful, lights out. Like I literally shut it down. Don't let it bother me. I'm not that person that takes on stress where I'm losing sleep and no, it's not about.
That's exact that. Opposite. This is stressful. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah, I take the nap. I'll worry about it later. And if things don't fall in line as it's supposed to happen the way it's happening. So if it's not going as fast as it is, I let it go. If somebody's not doing it exactly as I need to, if I've talked to you 2-3 times and the message is still not received, I'll find somebody else. It may take it a little bit longer, but I'm okay. Mm. Let it go.
That's very good advice.
That's growth. Because before I would have been mad, very bad.
Yeah, no, that's a hard place to get to.
Well, you know what? When you do so much, you have no choice but to start doing that. Otherwise, you'll just go crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want you to give out information to people, your website, socials, anything where people can find you. And I mean, talking about doing so many things, like I said, eventually Jessica's going to be teaching.
Yes.
So Massage Therapy Media wanted to jump on that and be the first people to like start promoting her shit. And I'm excited to do that once, you know, you have a client not in the hospital with bee stings.
Do you have crazy equipment that you use and crazy machines that cost tons of dough?
I do.
Because we were in Montreal for the Canadian Massage Championship.
Oh my God, you would have loved
and
this show, Jessica.
That was really just
God.
A very small part of a massive spa convention. And so I saw a lot of really expensive equipment being used on butts and stomachs and all the rest of it. And I'm like, do you have that stuff?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah. So while you might be thinking I'm rolling in dough, I've spent a lot of dough.
Right.
Well, investment.
These kinds of things do cost money. Yeah. So I imagine that... Yeah. But that's how you get the money to hire the people to do the things, right? So
I've had this funny because I had just bought a product from a vendor and say it was like 10, 12 grand or something like that. And they're like, oh, and we have a new one like 2 months later. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, bitch, I just bought some from you. Like, can I finish paying for it first as you try to upsell me on something else? Yeah, there's always something new.
Yep.
I felt so out of place at that convention. Just we were there as a media company covering the Massage Championship. Right. But I was like, I need some bloody testosterone. There was just
everything was geared towards women.
Oh, yeah. I was like, as soon as I get out of here, I got to go watch a show where they build cars or something like Uberman.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. There's a lot of tight pants going on there. Mm-hmm. A lot of tight pants.
Definitely.
Yeah. It was a very interesting show. And I think you would have really enjoyed that.
So I have one here that I didn't even know existed. And it just happened to come up on my social media the other day. And I don't know if it encompasses the massage piece at all. I think it's just spa related type stuff.
Well, that's what this was. Yeah. I don't know how they ended up having this championship in the corner of this massive convention. Basically,
did it draw
what went
an
down.
Audience?
Day one had a bit of a bigger audience. We were there on day two. There was still an audience, but some of the vendors on the floor of the spa convention were really massage targeted. Like there was there was actually a massage therapy podcast there. That's it's a male and female host, right. And so everybody kept saying, "You guys need to talk to these guys." I'm like, "Why? It's just the French version of us." What? I'm just kidding. I think they might have reached out to us. We should probably connect with them.
I don't know. It was probably written in French, so if it didn't say "Je m'appelle" something, I don't understand it.
I'm with you.
But I met a few people that
French,
that were at these booths that were really focused on massage therapists and using some of the technology in their practice. So a lot of things were geared towards massage. There were some things that were completely for estheticians and spas and not related to us at all. But it was a combination.
If you were a single dude, that would have been the place to be, man.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God, yeah.
As you talk about tools, like, I don't know what tools you guys use, but I just got introduced to this new one called, what's it called? It's a brand called Akaway. Have you heard of them?
No.
No.
And it's a scraper.
Okay.
But it heats up.
Hmm.
Oh, my clients love it. You get to the end result with half the time because of the heat component. Yeah.
It's pretty
so
cool.
Many things.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. Well, I got it for free, so.
Nice.
All right. Third time's a charm, Jessica.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. That's
third
my time.
Yes. It's always your fault. That's
How
why I'm looking straight at you.
Me?
It's always my fault.
I apologize. So bodybymars.com.
See, she apologized. It's her fault.
Body by Mars on Facebook. Body by Mars and bodybymars_medspa on Instagram. Body by Mars on TikTok as well.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun. That's a lot of things.
Yeah. And I manage none of them.
Are you happy with your social media management?
It's improving. So originally I did none. Like I did all, and then that's why you saw nothing from me.
Right.
So then, because you know what?
All. I mean, I did none.
So you know what it goes with social media. Like it's so much easier to scroll than it is to produce.
Yes.
So
yes.
I took the initiative to get somebody to manage the MediSpa part, because at least I'm extremely busy on my end, but there's always room to be busier with the MedSpa because there's multiple people.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think you will ever be just managing all the legs of your business and not being the practitioner?
That's the goal.
That's cool.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
So
I mean, people will miss you. I know, like, you know, people that have got treatments from you love getting treatments from you, but
and they'll love somebody else.
You're a busy woman.
Yeah. They understand when they can't get me, they're not happy.
But
this is why I train them to book in advance. So nothing you can do.
I've been asking everybody this. Mm-hmm. How do you want to exit? What's your exit strategy? How do you want to retire from all this?
Think you asked her in 2020, and I'm going to go back and listen and see if your answer in 2020 was the same as it's going to be today.
Well, the exit is what I'm planning for right now. So the passive income,
right?
Allowing these businesses or products to work for itself is the ultimate goal. Because if I can pick and choose when I treat somebody and it's just gravy, that's where I want to be.
So when that happens, are there new projects that come about, or is it just like, you know what, man, I'm fucking cool my heels?
I think if you talk to any entrepreneur, it never ends, right? So there's always something in the background, exactly what I don't know. But for what it is right now, I'm going to say it's going to be in along the lines of where I'm working on. Massage, med spa services. Yeah, product. Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you're client gets better soon. And as sad as I am for her situation, it was great to be able to actually catch up with you after 3 years.
So yes.
Thanks for coming in anyway.
Yeah. It's long overdue.
Yeah, this was good. Thanks for hanging out.
No worries.
Right on. You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. Peace.